Here now is former U.S. Air Force security airman Steve.
Here we go.
For some reason, they assign the priority of this jet coming in. They considered it a hot cargo. When you get a call that you got a hot cargo coming in, that's something pretty important that they need security for. We saw the plane land. It came up to where it was assigned to be parked on the tarmac. We went over there after the plane secured, and we met up with the onboard security police personnel. They had four or five security police officers with the plane guarding whatever the cargo was. So they invited us to come into the plane because this was a brand new C-5 Galaxy, just came out and was just flying in the Air Force, and it was a gigantic military plane. And I noticed that the only cargo that was in the plane was two wooden crates that weren't real big. They might have been about 3 feet high and about 10 feet long. They were stacked on top of each other. There was nothing else in the whole plane. It's just these two crates. We went back outside. And we were outside for about maybe a minute or two. Then all of a sudden, we noticed dropping down from the sky was this craft that had absolutely no sound to it. It came straight down, and I would guess that it was about 500 yards away from us at about 300 feet, and it just sat there.
What was the shape and color?
Well, the shape of it was hard to determine. The only thing you could definitely make out was two orangey-red glowing sort of like lights that were on opposite sides of each other. Maybe they could have been a few hundred feet apart. And then it went up into almost like a wishbone shape. It looked to be some type of silvery alloy material it was made out of. It was a cloudless night. It was very dark. There was really no moon out or anything.
Was the very first thing that you saw coming down from the sky the red-orange lights separated from each other?
Yeah, but they seemed to be attached to a frame that went vertically up into the sky.
It came down about how close?
Maybe 300-400 feet off the runway, about that height. And it must have been at least 500 to 600-700 yards away.
Were you seeing enough in reflected light to get a sense of the size?
You know, right now in my mind, I can see it clearly. It was probably 800-900 feet in length, vertically going up, and going across, it might have been 300-400 feet. It was pretty good size. From those two glowing red lights, the distance between them, viewing it from the ground, it looked to be 300 to 400, maybe 500 feet between the two orbs of light. It was pretty much over the runway as far as being perpendicular to it. The main runway from the tarmac and the parking area where the jet was probably about 1,000 feet from where we were standing right next to the Galaxy.
Okay. How many of you are watching this?
Well, there was the three of us plus the four, I think there was four, it could have been five, other security police personnel that were assigned to fly with the plane. Okay, so about nine of us.
And are you all watching this and you don't hear a sound?
No, it's absolutely silent. It surprised us when it came into our sight. It just came straight down without any sound. The only reason we knew it was there because we could see it dropping down, and then it stabilized at about 500 feet above the ground.
And what were you all saying or yelling to each other?
Nothing. We were all just totally in awe. I don't remember saying anything while we were watching it to anybody. I don't remember hearing anybody talking to anybody else. We were all just stunned by it. You see something that totally is so uncharacteristic of anything you normally see, just to appear right in front of you is pretty astounding.
What did happen?
Okay, from that point, it was in its hover position. It turned on a beam of light that shined onto the plane itself. It didn't shine on us. It shined on top of the plane.
The new C-5.
Yes, it did. Directed its beam like a laser beam onto the C-5 itself, like it was aiming it right towards the cargo bay area.
And Steve, what color was that beam and about how wide was it?
Color I remember as greenish blue, and the width of it, it wasn't much wider than the plane itself. So the plane was probably about 25 feet wide. You know, the cargo bay itself, not the wings and so forth, but just the cargo, the fuselage of the plane, that's what I'm talking about. That's what it directed its beam on, towards the middle of the C-5.
And that's where those two containers were that you...
Roughly in that area.
What happened?
It shined the light on for about 10 seconds, and then the light went out completely. And then after that, within a, seemed like a few seconds, the UFO just went very quickly right back up into the sky vertically and just disappeared.
And do you guys run over to the C-5 and run in to see what's happened to those two pieces of cargo?
No, we didn't, but the security police that were assigned to the plane did. They went back inside. Then they came out and said that they would be leaving shortly, and it was time for us to leave as well.
Did you hear whether or not they tried to look inside the containers, what might have happened inside of that C-5?
Before the UFO showed up, we were talking, and I asked the one sergeant who was in charge of the detail, I asked him, well, where are you guys going from here? He says, we're going to Groom's Lake. Now, that's what Area 51 is called now.
Right.
But back then it was called Groom's Lake. He said, they're going to Groom's Lake. Well, I had no idea where that is. I said, well, where's that? He said, it's somewhere in Nevada. So I do remember him saying that. Whatever this hot cargo was, the next stop was over there to Groom's Lake.
Did anybody ever talk to you, even in rumor, about what was in those containers that the UFO seemed to be so interested in that it put a beam of light down where you all knew that there were just two containers in there?
No, nobody ever told me anything about the contents. We didn't have a need to know, for one thing. We were there only to provide a little additional security while the plane was on the ground. But when all this was over, we went back to headquarters because it was another 40 minutes or so before we would get off duty and another crew was to come on and take over. We reported the incident to our flight sergeant, who was a master sergeant. He took notes. That was it for the night, so we left and we got off duty. Well, the next day, I was on duty again from 4 to 12, but I was on a different assignment. And after I was on duty for about 2 hours, a Air Force staff car came up to where I was working the gate. And this person got out dressed in a civilian suit and came over and showed me his identification. He was a colonel from the OSI, which is Office of Special Investigation. And he's in plain clothes. He said, are you such and such? I said, yes, I am. I said, do you want to know about the UFO incident? He just said, you didn't see anything. You didn't see anything, did you? I said, no, sir, I didn't. He turned around and he left. And that's the last I ever had any incident with this UFO sighting.
Did you talk with any of your buddies or anybody else off the record about that conversation and about what in the world was this huge thing that came to the C-5?
The other two guys that were with me, I never saw them again. I don't ever remember talking to them about what we saw. And the fact that the OSI officer, he didn't even want to hear my account, tells me he already knew what transpired. They already know what happened. So he didn't want to hear anything I had to say. He just wanted to make sure I didn't repeat it to anybody.
And this separation of people who have had encounters in a military context with something that would fall into the category of UFOs.
Yeah.
It is almost like standard operating procedure. Separate those eyewitnesses around the world, send them to separate bases so they won't compare notes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they must have been reassigned somewhere else rather quickly. Or maybe they didn't want to cooperate with the OSI.